The Bible says, as we looked in the New Testament, we are to refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all unto all things. And as we know, the physical realm is only good for how long? This life. So you can take care of your body and eat right, and you should, and take vitamins or whatever, and take your medicine on time, right, Brother West? Amen. Did you get that water, dear? Sorry, thank you. But that may get us a few extra years in this life. And that's not bad, amen. But it says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. That means in this life, godliness is profitable for you in this life, but in the life to come. And that's where many people tonight do not live for that life to come. That's the eternal life. That's your eternal reward, your eternal inheritance. So what I said last week was this: do both. But if you're going to err on the side of anything, overdoing something, do it on godliness, not just on the physical, but on the spiritual. And that's where it's hard, because normally we can get all the physical stuff done and then we say, man, the time's out. Now I got to go to work, or I got to run off here, run off there, and there's no time for God. And that's a bad path to go down. Amen. David did not do that. We know he was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who spent a lot of time fellowshipping with God. In fact, we're going to look at verse 7 just to give you an idea. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me when? In the night seasons. You know, again, what was David doing when he was tossing and turning? Well, he wasn't reading Facebook or Fox News or whatever, Instagram or hello, and who else? What other ones, Josh? Maybe YouTube videos. Who said that? Brother West? David. Oh, okay, David. Thank you. Are you thankful you can't use your cell phone? You know, that doesn't bother you in the middle of the night. Amen. David was meditating. David was talking to the Lord. David was praying. God was dealing with him. He was receiving instruction from God in the night seasons. And so that's a very important time that we have, that God can really work in our lives if we would give him all of our time, give him all of our hearts. And that's where I think this whole psalm is leading. You know, who is our portion? Who is our trust? Who is our reward? Amen. And so we looked at two goals. Number one, what's the main goal that we should have? I will fellowship with the Lord. Is that your goal? Spending more time with God? Brethren, the Lord and what he wants to have with us is a personal relationship. How many times did David say, my, over and over? I think we looked at that. A dozen times he talks about my trust, my goodness, my cup, and my Lord, my God. And he understood that he had a personal relationship with the Lord. And that's what we are to develop in our lives. And Not only that, but we spend a lot of time with the Lord in prayer. When he cries out, verse 1, preserve me, O God. Preserve me is, you've been reading the book of Job. If you've been reading the book of Job, it talks about a hedge there in the book of Job as well. And so you can pray a hedge about yourself, a hedge about other people. And he's asking God, when he says, preserve me, he's asking God to hedge me in. Amen. Like a shepherd does his flock. And really, if we would just take time every morning to pray that prayer, you know, preserve me, oh God. What could be the difference of that day if God was really the one guiding us, leading us, and protecting us? Maybe things would turn out a lot different, amen? And so, and then part of your walk with God is recognizing that it's all goodness comes from God. All of what we have in life are blessings. And the New Testament tells us in James that every good gift, every perfect gift, comes down from the Father of lights. So, brethren, we have all the blessings that come down from God, and the only thing we should be doing in our time with the Lord is being thankful, prayerful, reading, meditating on the Word, and that's going to change our life. If we would just be so faithful every day on fellowshipping with the Lord, you can't get any better than that in your Christian life. Goal number two, I will choose the godly to be my closest friends. And this is where it gets a little practical to where, who are you going to spend your time with? Now, I know some of you don't have a choice who you spend your time with during the day because you're confined to your workspace or to this environment. But when you do have a choice, what do? Well, I would think, like I'm preaching to the choir tonight, the first thing you need to be is faithful to God's house, amen? You want to be in the midst of the saints. You want to be with God's people. So are you going to choose the godly to be the closest of your friends? And that's where I think, and this upcoming year, I didn't really say a whole lot, but we didn't have our brotherhood breakfast. But man, I'm trying to prepare or plan a one-day men's retreat for the men. Just like the ladies are planning to go away, I would like to have one day where the men were going to go away and get together with another church and have some fellowship around the Word of God and a dedicated time and meet some new believers and have a day away. Amen. Now, for us to arrange our schedule and get that done, God's going to have to help us. Amen. But we'll work on that. But it's so good to be with God's people. It's so good to plan activities and to have the fellowship. I think the ladies kicking off their yearly meeting the monthly meeting this year on the 27th with Faith Baptist, with the ladies there, I think that's a mutual blessing for both churches. And so I hope that'll be a part of what we can encourage one another to do. But then on verse 4, we have to recognize, yes, we're going to have the saints of God. We're going to have the godly in verse 3. But then he says in verse 4, he's talking about the ungodly. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. So not only do we choose the fellowship with my spiritual family or the saints of God, we need to choose to separate from the ungodly. Obviously, who should be your best friends? Your best of friends should be Christians. Now, I know that's not an easy thing in the sense of everyone being out in the world and, you know, different places. And it's not wrong to have, you know, unsaved friends per se in the sense of they don't know the Lord, but you're working on a relationship to help them come to know the Lord. That should be your goal in every friendship of a lost person, amen. But the truth of the matter is, you can't fellowship with them. Your spirit doesn't bear witness with their spirit. You don't have that unity of the spirit with them. And so you have to be careful that you're not looking for that fellowship in lost people. Because they're going to pull you down. They're going to lead you astray by their attitudes, by their counsels, by the word. You know what I'm saying? They don't have the Lord on their mind. They don't have the fear of God. So what are they thinking about? What are their goals? What are their dreams? What? I'm not saying they're bad, wicked people that you can't ever talk to. I'm just saying they're not going to have the same spiritual goals or even understanding that you have. So be careful with how much time you spend with lost people. In fact, the New Testament tells us we are to separate from the ungodly. We are to separate from the darkness. We're to separate. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3 tells us. How can you have fellowship and unity with someone when you are not spiritually yoked up with them? And 2 Corinthians tells us, you know, what fellowship does the light have with darkness? Can you mix the two? No, if the light's here, there's no darkness. So you can't mix the two. And that's what he's saying with unbelievers. You can't mix believers with unbelievers. They don't have fellowship. So be careful. And then goal number three, and this is where I think we pick up tonight, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. I have a goodly heritage. He is so thankful unto God here. He's praising the Lord for the blessings. Letter A, I will praise him because he himself is my inheritance or my portion, and he secures my every need. That's what David is talking about here. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Now think about Joshua, and when he had to divide out by lots, they had to go and conquer the promised land, and all the tribes had their duties to go out and take certain parts of the promised land, and God was with them. And what he's saying here, and that's the picture, just as they had that inheritance of the land, that was the blessing that God gave the Israelites, the land, amen. I wish people today would understand that. I think a lot of people do understand that, but hopefully, excuse me, you don't get caught up in the confusion of the world today of whose land it really is. I think from a biblical perspective, you can have the conviction that Israel is in her rightful place today, and the land that is being disputed belongs to Israel. At the end of the day, the Lord, when he comes back, is going to make that right. Amen. But David, here he is. How many times was he on the run? He could even be in his own. He couldn't even stay in Jerusalem. He couldn't be in his hometown. He couldn't be in the portion of his inheritance. So what is he saying? He's saying, I have learned that though I am not in my physical land, though I'm not in the promised land that God gave me, God is my inheritance. God is my portion. So, brethren, that to me is something we need to realize, that, you know, it's not about the physical blessings, but it's about having the Lord in our lives and really understanding everything that we have in the Lord. Amen. And David used the word cup here. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Well, we know in Psalm 23, go over there, verse 5. Cup is mentioned over here. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In that, in Psalm 23, it's talking about the blessings of God that he is receiving. The cup represents it's overflowing with God's blessings. But also, you know, when we talk, remember the New Testament, when the Lord cried out, you know, if it be possible, Father, let this cup pass by. Let this cup pass over. I don't want to drink this cup. And then John and James, you know, they wanted to be on the right hand, on the left hand of the Lord in the kingdom. And he said, are you able to drink the cup? They didn't understand that. So the cup, it also talks about our lot in life, the portion that God assigns to us. That really, when you think about the cup, and we have to acknowledge that God is the source and sustainer of everything that he blesses us with in life. Amen. And are we going to be happy with that? Are we going to be content that the Lord is our portion? That the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup? And then he goes on and he says, thou maintainest my lot. And that's what David's talking about here. God is the one sustaining him. Now, he says, well, let's read our outline letter B. I will praise him because he has given me a wonderful inheritance. Remember the land, it was divided by casting of lots, Numbers 33. And also, go to Proverbs, we're near there, Proverbs 16:33. When ye cast lots, I don't believe where you are to be casting lots today. But we have to understand what that means. In Proverbs 16:33, it says, the lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So even though they cast lots, what they understood, this was God's divine directed. God's the one who made it fall where he did. God's the one who guided the lots the way he wanted, according to his divine purpose. He providentially did that. And so when he's talking about maintaining my lot, David is understanding this. God's the one who guides us providentially. God's the one who leads us. Think about when David could look back, even though he went through many different trials, he could say that his life was blessed, his life was enriched, his life overflowed with God's grace and mercy and love, and he experienced so many different blessings in life. And so that's how we need to be looking at our lives. Are we going to be praising the Lord for the lot that God has given us, for the cup, for the inheritance? And then in verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The lines are the boundaries. The boundaries. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. You know, God's the one who controls the circumstances of our life. God's the one who opens doors. God's the one who controls the boundaries in our lives. So, brethren, if we put God first, if we put the Lord first like David did, and put our trust in him, thou art my Lord, in thee do I put my trust, we're going to be able also to look at our lives and be able to say, look what God did. Look at how God blessed. Look at what God gave us. And be satisfied with your portion. To be satisfied with your lot. To be satisfied with the cup. To be satisfied with the inheritance. To be satisfied with the boundaries that God has put upon us. And so everything that we have, the possessions, the circumstances that we go through, brethren, all of this, even your trials and sufferings, everything is contained in these two verses. And you know what? They represent God's portion to us. Are you happy with that? Are you truly going to bless God, praise God, as David did, for everything that he's allowing you to go through? Think about Job. We got to keep coming back to Job, amen. And there's a lot to learn in that book. And I know it's not easy reading, but it is. There's some lessons in there that we need to learn today. But think of everything that Job suffered. And it appears, you know, God was working in his life, was he? Was he not? There were some lessons God wanted to teach him. But at the end of the day, there's some good verses about Job's character, about how he accepted these trials. And yet, there's a lot of chapters where he's kind of complaining, too. I don't know if you're getting that out of there, but that's what he's doing. He's struggling. But at the end of the day, brethren, you know, he realized and he understood. And I hope that's where we come to that same place as Job, and we know the Lord personally. We surrender everything unto him, and that he truly is the one in control of our lives, and we're trusting him. We're accepting his portion. We're accepting the cup. We're accepting the lot. We're accepting the lines. Amen. And then, not only that, we're being good stewards of everything that God's given us. That's what David was. And he says, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. A goodly heritage. And you know what? That's going to be the testimony of every one of God's children. to have a goodly heritage. Go to verse 7. We'll stop in verse 7 tonight. Goal number 4, I will listen to the Lord's instructions. Amen. I will listen to the Lord's instructions. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Brethren, letter A, I will listen to the Lord's counsels. Who counseled David? The Lord. Do you think that God doesn't want to counsel you like he did David? Yes, he does. David, as you know, being a leader that he was, obviously he needed God's counsel. All of us do. But what I'm saying, as you are overseeing other people's lives, and all of us do this because you have a family, you have children. So everyone can understand that all of our decisions, every one of us, affects someone else. And a lot of it is to a greater extent. If we have leadership, especially in the church, or leadership role in politics, think about their decisions. How many people are affected by all the different decisions politicians make, or mom and dad make in a home, or husbands make with their wives, or wives make with their husbands? Brethren, God wants to counsel us. God wants to lead us. God, we should recognize right now, he said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Are we even listening to God's counsel? Isn't that part of the need of our lives, is to listen to God, listen to his word, listen to the preaching? So we need to seek God's wisdom. We need to seek God's counsel. Do we even ask the pastor for counseling? Or do we know better? We know better, so we don't need counsel, right? Well, I'm glad I asked counsel. I'm glad that I have counselors. It could save you a lot of heartache in your life if you ask counsel. I will listen to the Lord's counsels. B, I will listen to the Lord's instructions. Says, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. So David was instructed by the Lord. To instruct means to be corrected, or to be even to be chastened. That means to be, when we're corrected and God's dealing with us about something he wants to change in our life, do you think he's going to stop speaking to us about it? No. He's going to keep reminding us, here's what I want you to change. Here's what I want you to do. Now, there may be, days and weeks of silence, but then it comes back because we didn't deal with it yet. And one of the places that God could be dealing with us is in the night seasons. When we're laying awake in bed at night, that's what David's talking about. God spoke to him. Something inside of him was speaking to him. And this refers to his heart or his conscience. That's what the reins are. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Brethren, God still works in the inner man. You're not going to hear an audible voice. We're not talking about, hearing God speak in a loud voice. That's not what you're to be listening for. But God still does impress upon your heart the things he wants to change in your life, the things he wants to do in your life. He's dealing with our spirit. He's dealing with our heart. He's dealing with our mind, our conscience. And you know who's in there working? The Holy Spirit. So God's going to be working in our hearts, in our minds, in our conscience to bring conviction and change and correct us. But he talks about these night seasons. You know, David went to night school, amen? And that's interesting because, you know, a lot of times you go to school and you're like, you know, you may look down on someone. You're getting your education in night school, you know, because they're doing something else or working. They go to night school. So do we look down upon people because they go to night school? David went to night school, amen. You're not going to get close to God without going to night school. So don't look down on night school, amen. Because this is where God will deal with us. And David, you know, when you may, in the time, it seems very difficult, doesn't it? But go to Psalm 37:24. I know it seems like it's difficult. And sometimes we don't understand everything the Lord's doing or everything the Lord wants from us. But in Psalm 37:24, he says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. And so, but I want you to read 23. I think that's the one I wanted. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though both verses are good. But you know what? When you truly hear God's voice and you truly listen to what God's dealing with you with and you make the right decisions, you're going to be able to look back and say, the Lord ordered my steps. Look at what God did. Amen? So, God wants to speak. God doesn't do it in all audible voices, like although he did do that at times when he was given the revelation of his word. But now God speaks to us inwardly. He speaks to our spirit. He instructs us in the inner man by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. So the question is, do we really want to hear God's counsels, his voice? Do we really want to receive his instruction that he wants us to receive? Brethren, that's a choice that we have to make. Because if we don't really want to hear God's voice and we really don't want to receive, if we're not going to do what he wants, then we may not hear everything that God has for us and everything that God wants to do for us. Is that a goal? Is that a goal of your life? I hope it is. Receive instruction. Receive counsel. And you know what? Be thankful God still speaks. God still teaches. Let's listen to him. Let's pray.